Now, as I said on Good Friday, I'm going to start where we were on Good Friday. I'm going to sum up where we were on Good Friday. So if you were here, you know, a little review, and then we're going to go beyond that. O church, in 2 Samuel 7 is what is called the Davidic covenant. This is where David, the king, right? The monarchy started with him. The true monarchy that would last forever and ever. And in 2 Samuel 7, David is promised that one of his descendants that would come through his own line would be established by God, and his kingdom would be forever. Forever. It would last forever. And yet, as you look through the Old Testament, you see that all, or most at least, of David's royal descendants are a stinking royal mess. That's what happened with these people. Most of them, or at least many of them, will trouble the kingdom that was promised, and eventually they will lose the whole thing in little more than 400 or 500 years. They lose the kingdom eventually in 586 BCE, as it is called today. And this loss begins, if you remember from Good Friday, it began almost immediately after David. We get all these great promises of a kingdom, and yet it begins to be lost almost immediately after David. This loss began at the end of Solomon's reign as he departed from the Lord, and it is very pronounced with David's grandson, Rehoboam. David's grandson, just two generations after David. For while David had a whole heart for the Lord, Scripture says that Rehoboam had no heart for the Lord. He had no heart for the Lord. And the kingdom began to be powerfully lost in Rehoboam's day. For with the exception of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, with the exception of them, Rehoboam loses the territorial reign of all the other tribes of Israel. He loses them. And again, you know the story. You probably heard it in Sunday school and all that. After 40 years of hardship under Solomon, Israel gathers to make Rehoboam king, to officially anoint him as the king of Israel and ratify this. But they all come along, Israel all comes along, and before they make him king, they say to him, 1 Kings 12:4. 1 Kings 12:4, check it out. They say, "Your father," this is Solomon, "your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us." In other words, your dad's yoke was hard and heavy. And if you will lighten it, listen, we will serve you. We will serve you, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam says, "Depart from me for 3 days. Depart from me for 3 days, and on the third day, I will give you an answer. You've given me a lot to think about. Let me think it over. Depart from me for 3 days, and on the third day, I will let you know my answer." And then Rehoboam gathers with his counselors, and he asks all the old guys who were wise men and had served during the reign of Solomon. They said, "You know, how should I answer these people? What should I say to them?" And they advocate, if you remember, they advocate servant leadership. Look at 1 Kings 12:7. This is what they say to him. They say, it says, "Then they spoke to him," to Rehoboam, saying, if you will be a servant to this people today and will serve them and grant them their petition and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. The old guys advocated servant leadership, but the young guys who grew up with Rehoboam advocated harsh leadership. For 1 Kings 12:11 goes like this. This is their actual advice. They advise Rehoboam to say to the people, in 3 days, say this to the people. This is what they said. Say, whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the old guy said, no, go with servant leadership. They advocate servant leadership, and the young guys advocated harsh leadership. In Indian Valley, David's royal heir, Rehoboam, went with the harsh leadership, and 1 Kings says it cost him the kingdom. It cost him the kingdom. But church, David's greater heir, David's greatest heir, the Lord Jesus, he went with servant leadership. He does the exact opposite, and he goes with servant leadership. And this is all over the place, Old and New Testament alike. For in Isaiah 53, if you remember from Good Friday, in Isaiah 53, it says of Jesus, the servant of the Lord, that Jesus would be the one who would be pierced through for our transgressions because of our sins. Servant leadership. Jesus said in Mark 10:45, he says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Servant leadership. Philippians 2:8 and following says that for our sins and for God's glory, Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Servant leadership. And church, remember that while in 1 Kings 12:4, it says that the yoke of Rehoboam, the yoke he chose to go with, was hard and heavy, yet Jesus, church, echoing the same language of 1 Kings chapter 12, Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 30, he says this, and you might remember how this begins. Jesus begins the text, the verse before. He says, come on to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is what? And my burden is light. Rehoboam's yoke upon the people was hard and heavy, while Jesus's yoke is easy and light. And I said before, and I said it on Good Friday, that Jesus's yoke is easy and light because in Christianity, remember, Jesus does all the heavy lifting. He does the heavy lifting. Jesus lays aside his glory. The glorious one, the Son of God, he takes on flesh. He dies a torturous, horrible death in your place to pay for your sins, to pay for my sins, that whoever comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and realize I'm not talking about just believing that Jesus existed. Even the devil believes that Jesus exists. I'm talking about faith in the sense of trust in him, taking Jesus as Savior, taking him as Lord, that one shall not perish but have new life now and everlasting life forever with God, world without end. Amen. And that's what we remembered on Good Friday, church. Many of you were here. That's what we remembered on Good Friday. And on Easter Sunday, we remember a little bit more, and we celebrate more. For while 1 Kings 12:12 tells us of Rehoboam, now check this out, 1 Kings 12:12 tells us of Rehoboam saying, check this out, it says, then Jeroboam, that can throw you off, that is Rehoboam's adversary, if you remember, then Jeroboam, and all the people, all of Israel, all the people came to Rehoboam on the, what day? On the third day, as the king directed, saying, return to me on the third day. For remember, Rehoboam said, come back on the third day and I will give you my answer. And Rehoboam's answer was harsh. It was harsh, and he lost the kingdom on the third day. But church, Jesus' answer, think about it, Jesus' answer in the Gospels is grace and servanthood, servant leadership. And Jesus gains the kingdom, and Jesus is vindicated by God by being raised from the dead on the third day, as Scripture says, on the third day according to Scripture, just like this guy way back when in Rehoboam's day. And the Bible says of this servant king, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, on the third day, this Jesus, the Bible says of him, therefore, because of what he did, because of his vindication on the third day, therefore, God has highly exalted him. And I'm quoting from Philippians here, chapter 2, verse 9 and following. God has highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him a name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and those on the earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. For Indian Valley, Jesus lives. You know that, right? Jesus lives. He lives. If you've been with us in Matthew, listen, he is the rightful king of that long dead dynasty of David. It's rekindled. He is the branch coming out of David's line. He is the rightful king who will come again to judge the living and the dead. In this Jesus, he pardons sins. Right now, he pardons sins, and in his kingdom, let me tell you, death and the devil is defeated. Death is defeated in the Lord Jesus Christ for him on the third day, and ultimately for all who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for all who place their faith in him, to all who turn from a commitment to sin to a commitment in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And they are the ones who will partake of Jesus's kingdom forever, because death is ultimately defeated only through Jesus. Only through him. No other name. No other name, the Bible says. Only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. The sting of death is removed through him. Through him. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And church, what I want to do now is we have a short little video. It's 4 minutes long. And I want you to check it out. I saw this on Saturday, and maybe it won't hit you like it hit me, but I get up real early, even on Saturday, and I get up early, and I'm sitting at my table, and I watch this goofy little video, and I literally sobbed at my table, sobbed. And I hope you are. Even if you don't cry, I hope you're blessed. Watch this little video, and I'll close with just a few words after. Richard Baxter, an old dead guy now in heaven with the Lord, wrote in 1683, he said these words, "God has not left us with the mere light of nature. Christ has brought light and immortality to light. One greater than an angel was sent from heaven to tell us what is there and how to get there and to secure our hopes. He has conquered death and has entered before us as our captain and forerunner into the everlasting habitations. He, Jesus, He has all power in heaven and earth, and all judgment is committed to Him, and all His word is full of the promises of our future glory at the resurrection. To all who turn to faith in Him." Not to everybody. To all who turn to faith in Him for the forgiveness of sins. And not God's blessing on your same old life, but for new life. A new life bound in Jesus Christ. Oh, church, is this your hope? Have you come to Jesus like this? For Jesus alone, nobody else. Jesus alone is able to defeat evil ultimately and death ultimately, and to bring us safely to Him, because this is the journey we're all taking. That's the end of the story. And it's the total end for some, just the death. But in Jesus, He is able to bring us safely to Him and into His kingdom beyond. Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? Is this your Jesus? Have you bowed to Him? If not, let today be the day where you bow in faith to Him, acknowledging, "Oh Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've offended God in my lust, in my lying, in my foolishness, in my anger, in my folly. I have lived according to my standards, not yours. And I turn from that now in repentance to Jesus Christ, in faith in Him, taking Him, the one who paid that sin debt for me, to give me new life now and everlasting life in the world to come." Is that your profession? Let's pray together. Oh, Father, Lord, I pray that we at Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this would not be just something we do because it's like in the church calendar since ancient history and all that. But, oh Lord, may it be something we celebrate within our hearts and take it with us all year long and every day, being dead to the old life and alive to brand new life in Jesus Christ, having our filthy record sponged away, forgiven, eradicated by the blood of Christ who bore our sins. And may we now live in newness of life in Him. Oh Lord, for those who have known the message for a long time, may it be renewed once again. May we have a new appreciation of Your great plan and all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ because of Your great love. And Father, for some, maybe today be the day. Maybe they haven't understood the message of the gospel before this day, and I pray that this would be the day when faith would be transferred from self, from one's own rules, from one's own way toward heaven, to your way, of new life and forgiveness, and new life and forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, to enter his kingdom one day forever and ever. I ask, may this be the day, O Lord, in Jesus' name, And Lord, we praise you with great praise for what you have done. Thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,